Our sermon title today may surprise you a little bit. It may seem a little bit odd to talk about baptism by rage. I wonder if we underestimate the power of baptism and the influence that it calls forth in our lives. If it's genuine, if it's meant, if it is God's doing, it changes things. And sometimes changing things causes some stress and unsettling. In this passage today, we have stories of Jesus who was moving ahead quickly with His ministry. And that was not without conflict. And His new moving under the power of the Holy Spirit, which was always with Him, but now He's claiming it and taking it forward in a new way, is causing some conflict. Let's hear this. I hope you'll stay open to the title, Baptism by Rage, and let me try to defend it a little bit. It is not heresy. It is an explanation of what happens in this story of Jesus. As we read the passage that is prescribed here in the bulletin, Luke 4:14-30, I want to back up. Won't surprise you that I'd like to do that, but I want to back up to the earlier part of chapter 4, not to necessarily read it all, but to set the stage for what we're going to read today. Back in verse 21, Jesus is baptized, and that is a hinge point event, a windfall or watershed event that changes things. And John has been the preacher. Now Jesus comes to John, the baptizer, and says, I'd like to be baptized. So here it is in verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which claimed him, saying, You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. The voice of God and with the power of God in it. And nothing was ever the same for Jesus after that. It goes immediately to the genealogy because that is so important. Baptism is a description of where you've come from God. And the genealogy of this human story of Jesus, the son of Mary, is given here as though to tell where he has come from physically. It's a background story for Jesus. If you read that in the King James Version, it's a little hard to read. Really, any version is a little hard to read because of all the names, but we're not going to read that. But it's important to understand that the heritage is there, the history is there, not just his human history, but his very baptism, his gift of blessing, now already blessed, but now poured forth again through his human baptism. But it doesn't get easier after that. Here we go on now with the reading for today from Luke 4, beginning with 14. Before we do that, what has happened just before that is Jesus has gone to the wilderness and found himself tempted by the tempter who wanted him to acknowledge and claim his own power rather than the power of God. And of course, Jesus declines and pushes that aside, resisting it. Here we go in verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then Jesus closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your own country." And then Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you, truly, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, and the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was great famine throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Both of those outsiders to Israel. So all those who were in the synagogue with him, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They were filled with rage. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And then, passing back through the midst of them, Jesus went on his way. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. Baptism is a powerful thing. It's not just the water. It is the blessing of God that comes in that moment where we submit to a life blessed by God and filled and fueled by God. Even Jesus submitted to that. Jesus was God in human form. You might think it was unnecessary for him to be baptized, but he showed us the way. And many people refer to baptism as following Christ in baptism. He has shown us the way. But I think it's evident in this passage that Jesus has shown us that that way is not always what we expect it to be. Sometimes we're called to very different things, very different paths than what we had expected or hoped for. The people in this crowd marveled at his gracious words, but when they asked him to describe what was happening, he described what was happening to other people that were not Jews, that were not even locals, not part of their country, not part of them at all. And they were offended that all of this blessing was happening to other people. They couldn't believe it. The rage that they felt caused them to want to push Jesus off a cliff. Even Jesus had challenges like that in ministry. No doubt you probably have too. Maybe somebody hadn't tried to push you off a cliff yet. But no doubt, when we make the stands of faith that we're called to make, sometimes it's unpopular and sometimes it causes a little whiplash, sometimes even within a family. Once Jesus was baptized, he was led into the wild. It even says he was led by the Spirit into the wild. If you read Mark's version of this baptism story, Mark says it dramatically, the Spirit of God drove Jesus to the wilderness where he would be tempted. Right after his baptism, blessing almost always comes with challenge. Baptism almost always comes with a need for response, and in a bold and significant way. It always comes with baptism that there is a calling to move on and to share and to bring hope to others, not just to dwell on your own joy or your own accomplishing. So, Jesus keeps moving on and giving of Himself, and He moves into this synagogue in Nazareth. You remember Joseph and Mary were from Nazareth, and that was the place where Jesus was raised, most likely hanging out in the carpentry shop. And here it is, in this synagogue in Nazareth, where Jesus is just about to be pushed off a cliff. It's like the prophet is not accepted, even in his own hometown. Their expectations are high. They marveled at his gracious words. They said, isn't this guy Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's boy? They speak fondly of him. But still, they don't hear his words in the meaning that are meant, that are intended. And so it's a lesson to learn that it's hard. If you're a prophet, it's hard to be understood in your own hometown. And sometimes, if they don't like what you say, they'll drive you right out of your town. Now, Jesus didn't make it better at that moment by talking about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, somebody from another place, and how the miracle of God was fulfilled for her, but she wasn't one of the home people. And the same thing, generation later, Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, despite the fact that many in Israel were sick, the only one that was healed on one occasion by Elisha was Naaman the Syrian. And you can bet that the Syrians were not liked by the people of Israel. The people here didn't like these stories about the history of these miracles. And they pushed Jesus right out of town. They didn't like that he chose to tell these stories. They pushed him right out of town over toward a cliff, and they thought that they would just push him right off. But he somehow began to slip back through the crowd and got through them, passed through the midst of them, and went on his way. Jesus' own teaching brought rejection by the people of his hometown, Nazareth. But he got away by slipping back through the crowd. Jesus didn't count on things to be easy, nor should we. But he counted on the strength of God's deliverance, which did not disappoint him, and so should we. Even Jesus didn't have it easy after his baptism. The rage of the elders of the synagogue helped to form him and give him confidence and hope. That's what I mean by baptized by rage. They brought him such a hardship that it caused his growth. The crowd's rage was so intense that they tried to push Jesus off the cliff. They didn't mean to kill him yet. That would come later, of course. They just meant to silence him, to shut him up. Maybe it's hardest for those who are raised in the faith. Those who take too much for granted. We sometimes who take too much for granted. Jesus came to shake things up, and that's our job too. To ask questions that are hard to hear and hard to answer. To face the crowd, not to run from it. Sometimes that seems too familiar. The expectations are too hard to fulfill. These people didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't understand who he was. Perhaps you've missed him too at times. I have. Maybe we have all failed to recognize him in faces or in a crowd of people. maybe we've even wanted to challenge him and say, Jesus, I don't get it. Help me. Help me see it your way or change and let me help you see it my way. Just maybe, if we open our eyes and remain open-minded, we might see Jesus in a new way. Maybe we might even see Him in an unexpected place. I think it's become expected that we would see Jesus in some way in the church family, or in the worship time, or in the choral singing, or the candlelight. All the sweet things that we shared at Christmas time, the beautiful live nativity of Emily and Cooper Don right down here at the altar. All those are sweet things, but what do we look for that's different? What if we always look for what's expected and we miss Jesus' challenges? Maybe we should change our expectations because He is with us. And He does have challenging words for us, not just sweet, holy, happy, healthy words, but words that would challenge us and change us and shake us loose out of a comfortable place. Jesus called us to make disciples in spite of the challenges that brings. Maybe even because of the challenges that brings us, how it helps us to grow. Jesus calls us to face the objection of a crowd, to face the hostility of an enemy, but never to do it alone. Because our baptism, even if it's trial by rage, even if it's baptism by fire and the rage of the crowd, such trials show us that God's strength is real. And they show us how to become stronger ourselves in that strength. Baptism by trial. Baptism by fire. Today's title is not a comfortable one. Baptism by rage. It seems like an odd title. But God creates this well of desire in us, this well of discomfort in us that brings us to a place where we must share the gospel, where we must share our baptism and proclaim it and live into it and be changed by it. Today is the perfect day to remember our baptism and give thanks, because this is the day that Jesus Himself showed us that it is important, vitally so, for even Him to go through it. So as we are here today remembering our baptism, let us celebrate it and live into it. And let us claim it, even as God has claimed us in it. Following baptism, following Christ in our baptism, does not make life easier. It does not make discipleship easier. Rather, baptism assures that we are not alone. Sometimes it may take us to difficult places, places of challenge, even places of rage, where Jesus just doesn't do what we think Jesus ought to do. Baptism assures us that we are not alone in those kinds of trials, or challenges, or even rage. It assures us, baptism assures us, that Christ, who has gone before us, also goes beside us with resurrection power and with hope.